Last week we went to the world-famous Park County Democrats Lasagna Dinner. Now, that's a fundraiser. That's what Democrats do pretty much every year since when, Dixie?
I'm not sure how long it's been, but I know they've been doing the lasagna dinner for at least the last 10 years, maybe more.
Something like that. Long time. And it's become a bit of a tradition, and I want to just preface this by saying that people go to it, of course. They know it's a fundraiser, so you give money if you can. But the big thing about it is that you get 100 and 150 people together, and it's at a time of year when we're going into winter, and it's just a great time to get together with other people that have the same mood, same attitude, same questions, same opinions, and you can talk to people. Some of them you know, some of them you don't. One of the things that I noticed at this particular event this year was an increase in the number of people dealing with climate change, both on the official program and what people were saying as they talked to us afterwards. We went out in the among the people there and grabbed them, brought them in, interviewed. We've got 7 or 8 interviews of one kind or another with many different people that were there. And climate change turned out to be one of the main issues that I think almost everybody there was responding to, including the keynote speech by Tom Woods, who was talking about, so what was the title, climate change?
Yeah, the theme of the dinner was climate change, Montana can do better.
Yeah. This is kind of, for us, particularly in a podcast runs through it, that we have been trying to get the discussion of climate change ramped up. The Democrats have been dragging their feet on this for quite a long time. So it was good to see that as front and center at this particular event. And I think the people had a good time. The lasagna is always great. I mean, after all, if you don't like lasagna, that's your problem. But this was great lasagna. And kudos to Chef Andy Scott and all of the people that worked in the kitchen to prepare it, because it really was really good. Well, Dixie, you did that. Have you got the lasagna off your fingers yet?
I'm still working on it. But, you know, and another thing I'd like to add about the theme being climate change, one of the most delightful events, the part of the evening I felt, and I think a lot of people really appreciated, was there were representatives from the Green Initiative, which is an environmentally conscious high school group from here in Park County, and we had representatives from the Sunrise Movement, the Bozeman chapter. They got to speak. That was really wonderful. And the College Democrats had a representative there. So that was, I think, very enjoyable to see young people taking part.
Yeah. We interviewed some of them. So in the following podcast, you're going to hear from a number of people, including representatives from Sunrise and the other environmental groups that were there.
Okay. All right. How's it going? Is it working?
Cameron, you might go ahead and identify yourself.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
My name's Cameron Kretz, and I am the president of the College Democrats of Montana. I am a student at Montana State University in Bozeman, and I'm going into my senior year right now.
Okay. I'm Nelson King. I'm with the podcast Runs Through It.
And we're awesome.
Interviewing people here today at the, get the whole long name, the world-famous Democratic Central Committee of the Park County... anyway, we eat lasagna and have a good time.
So.
Anyway, why don't you tell us a little bit about your organization, what you're trying to do?
Definitely. So my organization is a federation of College Democrats chapters at our universities in Billings, Bozeman, Missoula, and we're working on getting us established up in Havre at MSU Northern and trying to get into the tribal colleges. So really what we are the official, an official subsidiary of College Democrats of America, which is a national organization of all College Democrats in the United States, also an official part of the DNC. So what really we try to do is mobilize students on campus for Democratic causes, particularly in election years. We'd like to focus on voter registration and turning people out to vote. So last year, a lot of what we did was... run those kinds of operations. Like we would run a bus to the Gallatin County Courthouse at Montana State University to get students to register to vote. We registered over 700 voters last year on MSU's campus alone. So we're trying to expand that to Missoula and Billings as well. because imagine what we could do with that. We also knocked on well over 1,000 doors last year. So really, we're just trying to
get out the vote.
Yes, get out the vote. Like, we helped get John Tester reelected. Mm-hmm. Let's try to do something like that again this year. Mm-hmm.
Great. Mm-hmm. I really appreciate that. We've been pushing here in Park County because we had one of the highest voter turnouts in the country, 77%.
Wow.
Which is kind of staggering.
Yeah.
And this year we have a slogan we're calling 80 for 20. Mm-hmm. So get it up to 80%.
Yeah.
But, you know, get out the vote is kind of where it's at.
Yes.
I get the feeling that's sort of what the conclusion you've drawn in your organization.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
So last year, young voters nationally had about 31% turnout, which doesn't sound great, but that was a record. Huh. Previously, we averaged around 17%. So definitely getting out the vote is what's really important. John Tester has won his last couple elections by, like, just a couple thousand votes. So if we can increase the youth voter turnout, I want to get us up to 40%. By next year, because if we can increase that, that's over 1,000 voters. That decides elections in states like Montana.
Yeah, it does. Yes.
And we really need to be able to do that, because the youth voters, not only are we the future of this country, we are the now of this country. Mm-hmm. We need to get our people in there. We need to get our people into office, or we risk losing our state. We risk losing our country.
So you're not specifically issue-oriented, but what issues stand out for, you know, when you talk to young folks and you say, I want to get you out, vote. Mm-hmm. Well, they do or they don't, but usually it's an issue.
Oh,
sometimes
yeah.
A person.
Oh, yeah.
But
two biggest issues I hear when I'm talking to students on campuses is climate change and education. Like, right now, it is very expensive to attend universities. Montana's lucky. Montana, it's fairly inexpensive to go to school here with in-state tuition, but it's still rising. We are very lucky that Governor Bullock was able to secure a tuition freeze for us last year. But with climate change, our current administration right now, they're taking us out of the Paris Climate Accords, like, a lot of the people in that administration, they're not going to be here when they have to face the consequences. We will be here. And we don't want to live in a world that's just uninhabitable. With, like, Florida can sink. The coasts of California and New York, they can be gone.
Yeah.
Like, we can't do that. Like, Montana is in a unique position. Well, we've noticed our fire seasons have become almost, like, 5-6 months long instead of just a summer. It's insane. And we want a world to live in. We want a world for our children to grow up in, not just us. And it's pretty insane how people in D.C., they don't care. They seem not to care about that anymore. So I'm hearing a lot about climate change, especially in Bozeman, where you have a lot of those programs focused on fish and wildlife and other kinds of programs like that.
Okay, well, you feel like, I don't know, you could take one angle and you could say, well, these young people just don't understand how important it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you're rolling the ball uphill.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, if anybody doesn't know what's the situation right now is bad, I don't know what hole they're living in. But
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
You know.
Yeah, it's crazy when people say that young people don't care. This generation is proving them wrong. We have showed up to vote in this last election, and we're going to show up to vote even more in this next election. Like, we really need to be there. And I think the baby boomer generation, they're going to see that we do care and we will vote. And that's definitive. We have to do this, because if not, we risk losing our livelihoods.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me take the flip side of that. And would a student not care?
Would a student not care? That's hard, because I've always cared. Let's see. Lots of times people are very apathetic. I'm also a political science student, so I'll try not to get too meta on this. But they just don't think that their vote matters. And it's truly sad, especially in a state like Montana, where literally every vote matters.
Mm-hmm.
I don't quite understand. It's hard to put myself in that mindset, because I've never been there. Yeah, definitely just apathy, thinking their vote doesn't matter, and that whoever they send to office, they're in it for themselves. We need to have, if we want to change that, we need to have elected officials we can believe in. Like, John Tester is a great example.
Mm-hmm.
We believe in John Tester, and we know that he will do the right thing for Montana. Like other candidates like Kathleen Williams, and last year we knew that she would do the right thing. It's these people that we're sending to D.C., like Steve Daines, he's only in it for himself, and we know that. And so it's really hard for young people to justify their vote when they think that their people, that the people we're sending to D.C. don't care about them.
Mm-hmm. So they take it personally, in other words.
Oh, yeah.
And they don't motivate unless they can see some personal reason to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is,
mm-hmm.
And the easy out is, well, it doesn't matter, so I don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's rolling the rock uphill. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. With John Muse, I think he's a great candidate. Like, he is definitely someone that we can believe in. Honestly, all of our Democratic candidates for Senate and House, I could run vote for any of them. Mm-hmm. I truly believe that they're helping. Really, it's like I'm president of the College Democrats, so obviously I'm biased. I think the Democratic Party is a party that young people can believe in. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard to try to convince a young person to believe in the Republican Party nowadays, and it's not surprising.
I should hope so.
Yeah.
Yes. Of course, I have a bias too, mm-hmm. Never mind. But anyway, Cameron, thank you very much. I appreciate you to take the time out. It's kind of busy and there's a lot to do here, but I'm glad you could take a couple of minutes out.
And, thank you for having me.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Awesome.
That was Cameron Kretz of the College Democrats Bozeman chapter. And it's encouraging because he's very articulate and he knows a lot about what the issues are. I think you can tell he's been out talking to students a lot and picked up, you know, what their concerns are and what their energies are. But his goal is the same as ours, really, which is to get people out to vote. We prefer you voted progressive, but the whole idea is to vote. And for him, it's to get the numbers of students out. I asked the question, you might have noticed that, you know, why are not students voting? And his answer is they just don't think it's important. This election, he and we are promoting the idea, this is very important, this is real stuff, and you have to vote. And I thank him very much for being so articulate about it. Okay, Sarah, your last name is...
Blessing.
Sarah, oh, I know you. I've heard you.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm Nelson King. I'm with a podcast runs through it, and we're here at the world-famous Democratic Central Party lasagna dinner and... whatever. I do proper introductions later, but you're with Sunrise, right?
I am, yeah.
Explain a little bit about what that is and what you're trying to do.
So Sunrise is actually a national organization that's working on climate advocacy. It's youth-based and youth-run, and we're working on making the climate crisis a top issue in the 2020 election, as well as building people power for the issue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mostly young people or anybody, or what's your focus?
Anybody. We focus on leadership being below 35 and reaching out a lot to young people who have the most to lose in our future to the climate crisis. Mm-hmm. So that's where we focus most.
Okay. Do you feel like you're rolling the rock uphill, or are things going better now?
It really depends on where you're at. In Bozeman, it feels pretty good. If you venture really far out of that, it's definitely a bit of rolling the rock uphill.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, we started in this progressive group here several years ago, and even back then, that was the climate was number one. I mean, even though there were a lot of other things going on, climate stayed at number one, and it is for most progressive groups. But in general, obviously, you know, most of the Republicans don't believe it.
Right.
They not only not important, but they think it's a fake issue.
Yeah, and there's been a lot of money put into the system to make people believe it's a fake issue.
How do you combat that? I mean, what's your strategy for dealing with that?
Our strategy is not to try to get the people that are deniers, because that really is rolling a huge boulder up a hill. It's really to get kind of the middle people that aren't active in the climate fight, I guess, and convince them to be active in their democracy, active voters. And really what we try to do is combat individualism and this feeling that we need to do everything by ourselves to make a difference, and that it only counts if you do it all by yourself, and get people to join into a community that's working on climate action, and feel like you're part of something, because that's how we really get things done, is with a mass of people power.
What, in your experience working with people, what sort of, I don't want to say argument, because that's not the right word, what flips people from one side to the other, or moves more in the direction of understanding that climate change is real, is serious, is an emergency, needs to be done?
Honestly, the biggest thing that we've seen, and I think this is a main point of why we cater to the youth, is that children talking to their parents. I know it was a really big change in my parents, in my mother in particular, when I came to her and I said that I was not sure if I could have my own children because I wasn't sure if they would grow up in a world in which they could thrive. And that was a spark for her being like, I need to get involved because that's really difficult. So I think that's one of the biggest tools we have is being young and going to the older generation and being like, hey, like you've lived a great life with a lot of luxuries and the luxury of knowing that you'll have a future. And we want that too. And don't take that from us.
No.
Yeah.
You find it's easier to convince younger people or?
I find that more younger people are on board than older generations in general. I mean, obviously it depends. It's a very personal, people take it very personally, and it's kind of part of their identity now if they believe or if they don't. But in general, I feel like young people are more concerned, especially since, like I said, we are the ones that have the most to lose.
Yeah, you're the generation that's going to have to deal with. Well, yeah. I don't know about that. We're starting to see the effects now.
Oh, definitely. You everyone know, alive
30,
now
20,
will
30
feel
years from
is
now,
feeling
it's just
it.
Going to be worse. That's all.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, I'd like to say I wish you luck, but I don't think luck's involved too much. You really just have to work.
Yeah.
You've got to get your message out there.
Definitely.
You know. How many people in the Sunrise organization, or is it national? Or
so it is national. Mm-hmm. It's a national nonprofit. We are a chapter. In the local Gallatin County chapter, we have probably 15 regular people who come and participate in our hub meetings, and then we have a much larger base that we reach out to with emails and try to keep active in fighting for the change we need.
Yeah. I assume you work with other organizations, too.
We do, yeah. We're big on coalition building.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Definitely.
Okay. Well, insofar as it helps, good luck.
Thank you.
And I'm glad you had a little time to come and talk to us. Appreciate
it. Yeah, thank you so much.
Okay, that was Sarah Blessing with Sunrise.
If you're looking for an organization, and you don't have to be a young person, but an organization that's involved with environmentalism and the climate change issue, then Sunrise Movement sounds like a really good one to join. I was impressed by Sarah's presentation, and to me, one thing that stood out was her statement that she turned to the climate change movement because she was worried that she wouldn't want to have children because of what the world might be like 20, 30 years down the road. And to me, that's an emotional thing, that it's important people understand that. That's what the young people are feeling. She's literally asking, do I want children? Seriously, because of climate change. So we'll thank her for all that she represents and the work she's doing, particularly when they join up with other groups. It's the way that climate change action is going to take place. I appreciate it. I'm here this evening with Mike Bunker, who you're chairman, right, of the Park County Democrats. But I'll let you introduce yourself. How about that?
Hi, my name is Mike Bunker. I'm the chairman of the Park County Democrats. This is my second term. I've been the chairman for 3 years now, and we're having our annual lasagna dinner tonight. And this is our big fundraiser of the year, and it looks pretty successful right now.
Yeah, I'd say the turnout for a non-voting year.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. That's the hard part, is trying to guess how many people are going to show up. And I think we came close to guessing right.
Good. Last year was gangbusters, of course.
Last year was simply amazing. And next year, we know, will be like last year.
In setting this up and getting people to come and talk and the whole... What do you find is the mood of the Democrats right now, specifically here in Park County, but just in general?
Oh, I think it's very similar to what it's like in the state as a whole and in the nation as a whole. There's just a lot of confusion, a lot of bewilderment, and a lot of wondering why we have the leaders that we have today.
Mm-hmm. In other words, how did we get to this mess?
We understand the anger that elected this president, or at least I do, and it's hard to tap into. It's that blue-collar sort of anger where you've been discounted. I've been a hard rock miner for 42 years. I've been a union organizer. I'm a union man through and through, And I talked to many of my union brothers who used to be staunch Democrats, and they all voted for Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, after having been Democrats for almost forever.
Well, this is the younger generation.
Ah.
People from my generation came from that union background, but as the influence of unions and union participation has declined over the years, so has the political outlook of the Democratic Party.
Mm-hmm. So, what do you see now is the... if there is one, or a driving issue, or are you just finding, you know, some people say corruption, some say climate change. Do you detect any driving issue, or particularly here in Montana?
Yeah. I think it would have to be health care, education, and climate change.
Mm-hmm. So two of the standard ones. I mean,
of course.
I think we've been talking about.
We share that with everyone else.
Yeah. And then climate change. Now, as a Democrat pushing climate change, I interviewed a couple of people today that are here because they're representing groups that are pushing climate change. Young people, I should add. How much of an issue do you think that is here in Montana?
You know, we're a mining state. On our license plates, it says plata y oro. Mm. That's silver and gold. I'm a hard rock miner. It's something that's hard for blue-collar workers and blue-collar people to wrap their head around. Most recently, I mined platinum and palladium. Platinum and palladium go into catalytic converters that clean the exhaust of diesel engines and gasoline engines. Our saying at the mine was, we mine clean air, and we did. That's what cleaned up the exhaust. Mm-hmm. But now we have to move past those fossil fuels. And that's a big, big jump.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, I don't know, I hate to put it as a selling point, but it's convincing people that the alternatives are as good as the originals or better in terms of, you know, saving the climate. It's not an easy sell. You know.
No, absolutely not. You know, I mean, the problem, of course, is that the sun doesn't shine all the time and the wind doesn't blow all the time. So now we've got to develop those huge hydro storage areas that put miners to work making them and convert all those coal miners to be making big solar battery storage units. And it's on the horizon. Mm-hmm. There's one being built just 15, 20 miles out of town here in Martinsdale. And it will happen, but it's going to take a few years.
Mm-hmm. Mike, I appreciate the time you took. And
absolutely.
I hope it looks like you're going to have a very successful event. So
we hope so.
Yeah.
We know the lasagna will be good.
It is. Thanks. That was Mike Bunker, one of the organizers of this lasagna festival, or whatever you want to call it. I really appreciate Mike's work, and the Democrats put this on every year. It's an important fundraiser for them, but it's also a chance for us to talk with them and meet people that you haven't normally got the time or the opportunity. So, again, thanks to Mike Bunker and to everybody from the Democratic Party and to volunteers who worked in the kitchen and every other aspect of this lasagna dinner.
Yeah, good evening. We are here this evening at the world-famous Democratic Park County Democrats Lasagna Dinner. And I'm standing here with a very handsome young man. I'll let him introduce himself. And maybe you can tell us a little bit how this lasagna dinner got started.
Well, hi. My name's Rick Van Aken. I've been involved with the Democratic Central Committee of Park County for about 20 years now, something like that. When I was chair, which I think is probably 18 years ago or so, we started talking about, we never had any money. And I said, well, one of the things we got to do is we have to do an annual event. We should have an annual dinner every all the other counties or successful counties do that. And so we started with a spaghetti dinner. Gosh, we held that in church halls and the Moose Lodge room, back room, I think, at one time, different places. But eventually, I think it's been about a dozen years or so that somebody said, why don't we try doing lasagna? Maybe people were tired of spaghetti, I don't know. But we started doing lasagna, and it's just become more and more successful.
Very good. Has it grown over the years?
Yeah, it has grown. It might be in response to certain circumstances we're in these days, but it has grown more and more. It's grown quite a bit over the last 3 or 4 years, anyway.
Tell me, who else was, so to speak, on the ground floor in getting the whole Democrats motivated for this sort of event?
Well, of course, the chair, Mike Bunker, but Priscilla Dysart is a driving force behind it, and Andy Scott has been our lasagna chef for quite a while, everybody pitches in. It's a team effort. You have to look at the program to tell who all's on the committee.
Well, thank you very much, Rick. Pleased to meet you, and enjoy the evening.
I will.
That was Jerry Cole, our man out in the auditorium, talking to people that are here at the lasagna dinner. He just finished with Rick Van Aken, one of the originators of this idea for a lasagna dinner, and had some of the background for it. It's important to know these things.
I wouldn't know.
They don't make pockets for girls.
We are here at the world-famous Democratic lasagna dinner, and I've just met Alexis. And please tell me, why are you here?
At the Democratic dinner or in Livingston in general?
Whoa.
Well, Livingston, I'm here through a program of AmeriCorps that's called Energy Corps. It's actually a Montana State program, not Montana State the University, just like the state of Montana. And there's 18 AmeriCorps service members throughout the entire state, and we work on local energy and conservation issues in a myriad of different topics. Specifically, I'm here working with the county and the city of Livingston, and I'm kind of just their like go-to person on all sorts of energy and conservation topics. So I can do a lot of different stuff. I'll probably be working on some greenhouse gas emission stuff. I'll probably be working on mapping streetlights for potentially converting those to LEDs, working with the high school. So I'm kind of just like the like handyman who goes around town and kind of like fixes up things as people ask me to.
Well, I think that is great. So will you be working primarily with the city then?
Sort of half and half city and county. I'm kind of float around, but I have a meeting. I have meetings every week with the like Public Works Director for the city and for the county. And so they kind of, we all sort of work together on a service plan that then it's sort of my job to execute. And they've just introduced me to a bunch of people around town, so, and then I have all their numbers, so then when I need some help, I can go and ask the right person, basically.
So are you from this area, or where are you from originally?
So I'm originally from Hawaii. It's very far away, but I have family up in the Flathead, so I have family in Columbia Falls and Whitefish. So that's how I like knew about Montana, and I mean, I just love Montana. It actually reminds me of Hawaii in a lot of ways. So I'm from more rural Hawaii, and I think rural Hawaii and rural Montana are very similar in that they're both pretty isolated places. It sort of takes a certain type of person
to live out here. And also, they're the kind of places where people, you know, you're always trying to get outside to go hiking or swimming or skiing or something. So it's the same sort of environment where people are really outdoorsy, which I really like.
So what motivates you then to be part of the Energy Corps?
I think specifically when I went to college, I studied environmental science. And in my studies, there was a lot of talk about here's what cities are doing and here's what county or countries are doing to, you know, sort of combat climate change. But there was, I thought, a complete absence of focus on smaller areas. And I'm from a smaller town, so the town I'm from is like 12,000 people. And I would be super jazzed about stuff in college, and then I would go home and I would be like, this doesn't help anybody where I live or anybody like us. And Energy Corps, I thought, was so cool because it focuses on small towns. And I think in small towns, you can make a real, almost immediate impact on people and a lot of simpler things that people just tend to overlook. So.
Well, I want to thank you personally for being here and doing what you're doing. As a good Democrat, I guess it's great to be involved in climate issues. We certainly appreciate that. Again, thank you for being here.
Thank you for interviewing me. I feel very famous right now.
Well, we won't take that too far. Thank you. I have with me...
Representative Tom Woods from Bozeman.
Welcome, Tom. Tom, I have just one question. I've heard this rumor that you might be able to educate folks and how they might get 11% interest on their investments. Is that correct?
Well, if you want to become a regulated monopoly in the state of Montana, you might be able to get just that. Yeah. In fact, you will. And maybe more. 11.5%.
And how would I go about doing that?
My goodness. Good luck with that, but it would sure help if one of our monopolies divested itself and you could waltz in and take over for them.
Yeah, I see. I'm having a hard time making 1% on my investments, and this rumor I heard about, was it Northwestern Energy, is that correct?
Oh, yeah, those guys. I've heard of them. Yeah, that could be it, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I may have to go talk with them because... I would sure love to make more than 11% on my investments. Yeah. One other question. What are your predictions for 2020, both regards to the PSC and the state of Montana?
Well, I predict that I will be on the Public Service Commission in 2020. Beyond that, I kind of don't want to make any political predictions because, you know, I never saw a President Trump thing coming. So, yeah, I'm just going to stay out of any further predictions than that.
Any other comments you'd like to make here this evening? I know I believe you'll be the guest speaker. Is that correct?
That's correct. And I would like folks to thank the folks of Livingston for sending us Lori Bishop. And before that, for sending us Riley Neal. You guys have sent some pretty good legislators from Livingston. I really appreciate that, and the people of Montana appreciate that.
Well, thank you very much, and we'll be eager to listen to you speak in a moment.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Jerry. He's our roaming reporter out in the auditorium for this lasagna dinner, and we hope that he'll keep learning how to do that.
Loud or?
Okay, no, we're fine.
Okay.
Dan?
Yep.
Dan Vermillion. Well, you're well known. I'll put it that way. But you
in a small part of the world.
Yeah. what we'd like to ask you is, besides, you know, I'm glad you're here and glad you'd spend some time with us. This will only take a couple of minutes, but what we're trying to get is people's attitudes toward, obviously, there's a lot going on. And we think maybe there's some shifting in opinions. What do you think?
Opinions on...
Well, let's start with impeachment.
I hope there's a shift. If there hasn't been a shift, I think we're in bigger trouble than we probably all think we're in, because it's hard for me to read the newspaper and not just be completely appalled by the level of hypocrisy that people I used to really respect are displaying now as they cling to power, or they're just fearful of President Trump. And I think it's really disturbing because if people don't stand up for the democratic institutions that we've made this country special, I think we're in real trouble. And it feels like we're on the verge of kind of throwing that away. And it's deeply disturbing to me. And I think that, you know, I would tell you that last year when I ran for state senate, during the Kavanaugh hearings, I had, I'd been working pretty hard, knocking a lot of Republican doors, trying to get, because in the district I was running in, you had to get enough of them to decide to vote for a Democrat to win. And it all changed when the Kavanaugh hearings, and it was really interesting to me to watch how, like, Lindsey Graham and those guys, when they blew up in those hearings, how that impacted the people whose doors I was knocking on. Mm-hmm. And folks, they were just very hostile towards Democrats, whereas even a week before, they'd been relatively, they'd listen politely to have a conversation. But after that, they really got polarized really quickly. And, you know, it feels to me like there's a section of the society or our community that we're never going to get to leave their base.
Yeah.
And I don't know how I don't know what it takes to get them to say, okay, he's destroying my ag business, or he's undercutting my public lands, or any number of issues that affect
healthcare.
I mean, there's a whole bunch of issues that Montanans are suffering as a result of this president. But I'm not sure I feel like there's been a huge significant change yet, but I'm strongly supportive of impeachment.
Well, I mean, so in effect, you're saying that this last stunt that they pulled in the House yesterday, the 40 or so Republicans who stormed the secure room, I mean, that's the sort of, I've heard they say, well, that was perfect because we really got the liberals going on that one.
Yeah, and I think if I had to, like, My sample size these days is a little smaller as far as, like, Facebook people. And if I look at, like, on Facebook and what my Republican friends are saying, you're absolutely right. They're commending what those representatives did yesterday, or congresspeople, despite the fact that many of them had already been invited to those depositions.
Oh, yeah.
This is an investigation. It's not a trial.
Yeah.
The trial happens if they decide to impeach. And so, but they blow through all those equivalencies or those facts, and they just focus on, and they're very good at stirring people up and with a certain group of the pop. I don't know that they're not winning any new base, from what I can tell.
But they want to get their base stirred up.
But their base is stirred up, and
and that works.
It does work, and in this state in particular, it works really well.
Well, that's kind of what I wanted to ask you a little more seriously, I guess, about. But this is a conservative state, fundamentally. Even though we do tend to elect Democrats on occasion, right? What do you see right now as an avenue to gain enough percentage to, let's say, flip the House of Representatives, or flip the Senate seat?
In the Montana Senate? You know, I think it's the advice I got last year, and I think it was good advice, but it's really hard to follow. It is focus on local issues. Don't get... What these guys told me, that the politician and political consultants I talked to last year told me, every time you're talking about Donald Trump in your district, in that district, it's not my district, but in Senate District 30, you're losing. Because you need those folks to vote for you. And Donald Trump won Senate District 30 by probably 15, 16 points. Tester won it. I lost it. And Kathleen lost it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's really, you know, if we go national at the local level, it seems to me that we lose, even though... It's kind of hard not to think about what's going on nationally if you care about our country and you care about our state. So it's really hard as a candidate not to get drawn into that, because that's where I am. I'm like a mosquito with a light.
Sure, and it's
drawing me in. And
the thing is hot at the moment.
Yeah, it is. And so, you know, one of the things they were saying about yesterday was, you know, that Taylor guy, the diplomat on Tuesday, kind of laid it out in a way that should have been, you know, it was pretty damning testimony. End of story. And so what do they have to do? They have to do a stunt. They distract. Trump talks about lynching and does whatever he can do to change the subject. And we keep biting. So.
Great. I appreciate it. Take the time to do it. I know you want to get
back. Well, I'm glad you guys are doing this. Yeah. It's great. And I hadn't put it all together. I heard Lori's podcast the other day. Yeah. And
good.
I really liked it. So.
Thank you, Dan.
Thanks for you guys, and thanks for all you do.
Thank you.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Thanks to Dan. It's really good to hear from the perspective of a politician. Dan ran for state senate in 2018 and didn't make it. It was a very tough race. And his perspective on what it takes to win in Montana, especially if you're a Democrat, is valuable. especially things like stick to the issues that are local, because that's something that people understand around here. And as soon as you start talking about foreign things and Trump and other national issues, you may lose people. It's good to hear from Dan.
Okay, go ahead and just identify yourself. And
Rita Rozier in Livingston, Montana.
Yeah, and you're here at the world-famous Park County Central Committee's Democratic Lasagna Feast.
Yes, I wouldn't miss it for the
world.
I never
get through the entire thing. Anyway, it's a lot of fun. I'm glad you're here. Thank you very much. This is a podcast that runs through it. I'm Nelson King. And what we're talking with people about is, you know, the situation in the country is grave, I guess. Maybe you could put it that way. But the people at this event are hoping to organize and be together enough to change things in the next election. From your perspective, what do you see happen? What is the most important or worst thing, or I don't know how to put it, but, you know, how do you react to what's happening right now?
Well, there's so many problems in our country that it could bury you in depression. So I think the thing that we need to do is pick one where we feel that we could make a difference and to work on that one problem. And that's what I do. And for me, I respond online to many of the problems that are coming out of the federal government, where they're trying to mess up our air, water, environment, the mines, the pipelines, the, you know, that sort of thing. But climate change is my biggest concern, and I work with Citizens Climate Lobby, and I work with the Democrats, because I think that we need to have bipartisan solutions, but we need to have strength in order to get them through Congress.
Keep pushing it, in other words.
Yeah.
Do you think we're still rolling the rock uphill, or have things changed a bit in the last year or so?
Well, I would say that from a population perspective, that things have changed for the better, in that people are very aware, they're not hiding their heads anymore about climate change, and they know somewhat what needs to be done. There's a bill in Congress called H.R. 763, which is it's a bill that supports what the Citizens Climate Lobby suggests, which is a carbon dividend bill. And there's one potential for the Senate, but from the federal leadership standpoint, we are getting worse and worse. Every day there's new affronts to our environment, and it's really terrifying and can have lasting negative effects.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like every time somebody resigns, he puts somebody worse in, if that was possible. I mean, the habit of putting people in cabinet positions who are dedicated to destroying the department that they've been put head of, I mean, drives you crazy.
Absolutely.
But, okay, so your principal issue then is climate change. We interviewed somebody from the Sunrise organization, young gal, and you're seeing more of the activism, I think, now, particularly from young people. You think that's beginning to have an effect? Particularly having the kids, and I don't mean they're kids, they're many of them young adults, but
I see the potential for effect, and I do think that when you look at the historical times when tipping points in public opinion have happened, that is essential and is good. It's all beginning to happen, but the timeline for making change is so short, and the change is so horribly slow that I really don't know how to answer that question.
Hard to be positive.
It is.
Yeah. Except to do what you're doing, which is one thing at a time.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, all any of us can do is our best in the moment in which we do it. Mm-hmm. And we take a step every day and hope that they add up over the world's. But you know, when you've looked at past changes that have happened in society, it can be very rapid once it begins, and mm-hmm. I'm hopeful. I'm very hopeful.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Rita. I appreciate the time, and we'll carry on the message.
Thank you so much for what you do.
Thank you.
It's thanks to people like Rita Rosier, who reminds us that while the sky is actually falling, the way to deal with it is one thing at a time, one thing that you can do. You have to keep going despite setbacks and despite the atmosphere that we're dealing with right now. The important thing is to pick your battles, pick the things you can do, and just do them and keep doing them. So thanks to her. It's much appreciated.
I'm talking with Martha Adkins, and we're a podcast runs through it. I'm Nelson King, and appreciate your time. And what we're trying to get is from people that are attending this event, you know, what brought you here?
Oh.
And what are the issues that you find most important at this point? I mean,
to quote our present president, I would say corruption, corruption, corruption. Mm-hmm. I was really upset watching Rachel Maddow last night when the perfectly well-dressed, respectable gentlemen and ladies marched into the investigation interview and disrupted and raised their cell phones. I do have hope for this coming election. We have to have hope for this coming election. We can't be underdogs. We've got to believe that we can make a change in government and reverse things that are happening now and do better at the border. There's so many issues. Environment is big. Rita said climate change. But also locally, I was upset when we live outside the park. The superintendent was changed kind of abruptly. There's a lot to change, a lot to work on. And thanks for the opportunity to say this.
Well, that's what we're trying to do is just, cut through the... Let people have enough time to say what they have on their mind, including candidates. So, cumulatively, we don't know. Well, let me put it this way. Park County, in the last election, had a 77% turnout. One of the best in the country.
Really?
Top 10. Top 10 counties, period, in the whole country. And... That wasn't an accident. We have a good record to begin with, and that was an off year. That was a midterm election. So people here can be motivated. It makes a difference.
Yes.
And what we're shooting for next in the 2020 is, we call it 80 for 20. 80% turnout for the 2020 elections.
Okay.
And that's up your line. That's what we
want
to do.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate the time.
Well, that comes to the end of our coverage of the Democratic lasagna dinner. Some of us are going to go off and try to get some lasagna, actually. But I wanted to talk to one of our members of the crew here, Stuart Nelson, who does our editing. He has a chance to, I think, weigh in here and say what his opinion of tonight's event.
Well, I was happy that there's finally some focus on climate change. It's nowhere near enough, but it's something. For me, the highlight was the two young women from the Sunrise Movement. I see some hope there. Young people getting involved and with the energy to actually get stuff done. There's, my opinion's way too much talk and not enough action.
Yeah, I think you're probably going to find a lot of company on that belief. But like you say, we had at least four or five people that we talked to who were talking about climate change as the main thing they're working on. And, of course, the theme of this particular dinner was climate change. Montana can do better. So I think that there's signs that the recognition's coming around. It's important. So anyway, this was an interesting evening. And again, I want to reiterate, this was an opportunity not just for the Democrats to make money, but for people that want to talk and get to know their people, other people with opinions about these things. This was a great time to do it. And you get some really good lasagna with that. So this is Nelson King and the crew from A Podcast Runs Through It. Thank you for listening.